Good evening, everyone. As we continue to take a look at Jesus this week, as we move through Holy Week, today is Holy Wednesday. I want to lift up a word that comes from the lips of Jesus, actually, in his last moments, and it is his first word, his first saying, his first cry from the cross. And that word comes from Luke 23 and verse number 34. And it reads like this. Jesus said, "Forgive them," or "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. If you would allow me to, I'd like to tag this text tonight. It ain't that easy. These words, first uttered from the lips of Jesus while dying on Calvary's cross, are the most debated among scholars as it relates to their authenticity. The debate is around whether Jesus actually said these words and stems from the fact that in some of the earliest manuscripts of the Gospel of Luke, these words are strangely missing. If you look in your Bible, you might see a footnote there that says exactly that. Some early copies of the Gospel of Luke record Jesus saying, "Father, forgive them," and there are others that do not. What some scholars have concluded about these words is that their omission from manuscripts is not because Jesus did not say them, but rather because they shouldn't be there or didn't think they should be there, because they did not believe God had forgiven the Jews. And so some early church leaders decided to delete these words that Jesus uttered from the cross. Dr. John Howard Wesley says that the debate comes from the deletion, but the deletion stems from their difficulty in realizing how challenging it is to live up to these words that Jesus uttered from the cross. They understood what church folks still know and understand today, that sometimes it ain't easy to let folks off the hook. It ain't easy to let people get away scot-free. It's not easy to think that they will not suffer any consequences. It's not easy to put that hurt on a shelf and then go about our everyday lives, when in reality, we still have the wounds and the scars. Every scar has a story, and every time we look at the scar, we relive the story. But we pretend that it's all good because, after all, we said, "I forgive you," when in actuality, what we want to say and do is not holy in the sight of God. It ain't easy because many times the offense is greater than what we can ourselves muster up to forgive. And I know what some of you all are thinking on the line. I know what you're saying. Reverend Gale, I've heard a lot of sermons on forgiveness. I know all about forgiveness. I know I'm supposed to love them enough to forgive them. I know I'm supposed to let it go. I know I'm supposed to just put it on the shelf and just keep on going about my life like it never happened. I know I'm supposed to slap on some makeup and cover it up. I know I should paste on a smile and pretend I'm cool with everything. I know I'm supposed to forgive and forget, but you have no idea what they did. You have no idea what they said and how they treated me. Reverend Gale, you have no idea how they hurt me and how they double-crossed me, how they stabbed me in my back. You don't know the dirt they did, and you don't know how low down they were. I still have the wounds. I still have the scars. I see them every day. I'm still dealing with the after effects because, here it is, it ain't that easy. Do I have any real folks on the line tonight? Yeah, you're saved, sanctified, and filled with the precious Holy Ghost, and as big as your Bible is, and as many verses as you can quote, as many hymns as you know, and as long as you have been in the church, the truth be told, there is some stuff that folks did to you that's hard to let go, and it ain't that easy. And I just stopped by Lifeline tonight to let somebody know that no matter how hard you try to avoid it, hurt and pain and everything that goes along with them are part of this life that we know. So the next time you find it hard to forgive, I invite you to come with me and hang out at the foot of the cross and hear Jesus utter these first words from his lips. Can you see Jesus beaten and bloody, disfigured, disgraced, and dishonored? Can you see him humiliated and hurting, mocked and mortified, scorned, scarred, and shamed, naked and nailed to the cross like a common criminal between two thieves? He was beaten so severely that he couldn't even carry his own cross down the Via Dolorosa and up the hill to Calvary. On his head is a crown of thorns pressed deep into his scalp. His face is covered and crusted in blood, which is streaming down into his eyes, his nostrils, and his mouth. A robe was placed on his back and a reed in his hands, all mocking him as king of the Jews. He could barely breathe, but he could draw air into his lungs. But how many of you know it was not easy to say these words? Alexander Pope once said, "To err is human, and to forgive is divine." And what that says to us tonight is that forgiveness is a divine act that requires divine assistance, divine ability, and divine enablement. In other words, that thing cannot be done without God. Hallelujah. In and of ourselves, true forgiveness, real forgiveness, is not possible. So when I read Jesus' words, "Father, forgive them," I get calling on divine assistance. That makes sense to me. I also get Jesus not saying, "Roman soldiers and religious leaders, I forgive you." I get him saying, "You who lied on me in court, I forgive you. Those of you who betrayed me, I forgive you." I get him not saying, "You who beat me till the flesh fell from my bones, I forgive you." I get him not saying, "You who abandoned me, I forgive you." I get it. I get that in the worst moment of his life, Jesus asks his Father to mediate forgiveness on his behalf. In this moment, he does not call on his God as he does in the fourth word, but he calls on his Father, the one he always called on for help, and the one who would respond as only his Father would, because I would like to believe that it could have not been easy for God to watch Jesus falsely and unjustly convicted of a crime he did not commit and eventually nailed to a cross and not want to do something about it. That's what we do, parents on the line and grandparents. You know how we are. We raise up when we hear our children's voices calling on us for help. Forgiveness has always been Jesus's divine response to wickedness and evil. Jesus taught through his own words that forgiveness comes only to those who forgive others. He slipped it in as an addendum to the Lord's Prayer, and he taught that forgiveness has no limits when he said we have to do it 70 times 70. He even told us that we have to love our enemies. And now Jesus teaches through his actions that true forgiveness begins when it's done in cooperation with divine assistance. He could have said, "Father, avenge me. Father, wipe them out. Father, consume them right now. Father, pay them back for what they're doing to me." But Jesus does not do that. He says, "Father, forgive them." I get that. And can I parenthetically pause right here and say, deliver me from church folks who utter empty words, "I forgive you," and then spend the next 10 years avoiding one another and not speaking. Deliver me from that. If we can be real tonight, Jesus teaches that true forgiveness begins not when you utter empty words that you don't mean, but rather true forgiveness begins when you acknowledge that the situation is too much for you to handle. When you acknowledge that you can't do this thing, when you acknowledge I can't do it apart from God, it begins when you can look at them and say, I'm not ready to talk to you yet, but I am talking to God about it. I haven't let it go yet, but I'm praying about it. I haven't gotten over it yet, but I'm praying about it. Look, I'm not looking for you to be my boo no more. I'm not even looking for you to be my BFF again, but I am praying about it. Before I open my mouth and say anything to you about it, if you just give me a minute to pray about it and give it to God, then I'll be able to deal with you, because it ain't that easy. It ain't that easy. There's the story of a father who told his son to go upstairs and do his homework. And when his father later went upstairs to check on him, he found his son playing video games. He said, son, you have homework to do. Why are you playing video games? The son said, daddy, the homework was too hard, so I gave up and started playing video games. His daddy said, son, when it's too hard, you don't give up. That's when you call on your daddy to help you. And I came to let somebody to know tonight that when you've been done wrong and it's hard for you, when it's hard to forgive, God says, call on me and I will forgive you. I will help you. He says, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. I get that. It makes sense, you all. It's the second part. That, for they don't know what they are doing, that gives me cause for pause. That part ain't easy to grasp. As a matter of fact, I'm perplexed because I know for a fact that folks know what they be doing. Am I the only one that know that folks know exactly what it is that they be doing? Well, is there anybody on the line tonight that can admit that you have struggled with the idea of people not knowing what they're doing? I'm not saying Jesus is wrong. I'm just saying it ain't easy to understand, because how could they not know? Crucifixion is not new to them. They had done this kind of thing many times before. Jesus wasn't the first one to be crucified. It was their manner of execution at that time. Every action was deliberate. It was on purpose. It was precise, coordinated, and calculated. It was their job, and this time, like every other time, was just another day on the job. It was all in a day's work. How could they not know? It ain't easy offering up forgiveness for people you know what they did. Oh, my God. It ain't easy when you know it's on purpose, when you know it is intentional. It's not easy when you know they get pleasure from your pain and find satisfaction in your suffering and taunt you because of your tears. That part ain't easy to understand. It's not easy to accept. It's not easy to move past. That's why on one level, I struggle with Jesus's words. But even as I struggle tonight, people of God, I want to suggest that Jesus doesn't say that because he's minimizing the magnitude of what they are doing to him. I want to suggest to you tonight that Jesus realizes that it's not because of ignorance about their actions, because they knew what they were doing, but rather it was ignorance of the one they were doing it to. They didn't know that he was their Savior too. They didn't know that he was their Redeemer. They did not know that he was also bearing their sins in his body. They did not know that he was suffering for them. They didn't know that he was also dying so that they might one day live again. They didn't know that he was being crucified in their place. They did not know who he was. They didn't know that he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They didn't know that he was the author, hallelujah, and the finisher of their faith. They didn't know that he was lily of the valley and bright morning star. And just like they didn't know then, oh my God, the days of our time and in our life know also. I'm glad that Jesus prayed for forgiveness for them and they, because it leaves nobody out. We love to think of ourselves on the side that Jesus is on, the Jesus side of the forgiveness equation when we have been the ones offended. But we've all been on the offender side of the equation. Yes, Jesus prayed for they and them. And right about here is where I hear the songwriter saying, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Oh. Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? I tremble tonight, when people of God, because the truth of the matter is, when Jesus prayed for them and they, it includes me. And somebody on the line tonight realizes that it also includes you. And when you think about what you were, glory to God, and what you've done, you tremble that God would even think enough of you to include you. Oh my God, forgiveness was not just for them. And it was not just for them. Somebody ought to be glad tonight that forgiveness stretched through the portals of time, through space and through generations and across the ages. And forgiveness, hallelujah, is for right now. It ain't easy to understand why God did what he did. But I am so glad. I'm so glad on tonight that he did it. And now, people of God, even though it ain't easy to forgive, it is. It's easy to understand that it could have gone another way. Even though it's not easy for me to let go, it is easy to understand that if Jesus had not taken our place, we would have never known what true forgiveness looks like. It ain't easy to forgive, but it's easy right now to understand that if Jesus had not hung up for every one of our hang-ups, we never would have known what true forgiveness feels like. And because it ain't easy, and because now it is easy to understand, I can sing with assurance, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So go ahead, people of God, don't worry about it. We have one who stood in our place and said, "Father, forgive them." So when it's easy, or when it's not easy, don't worry about it. Just call on the one that Jesus called on. And God will enable you to one day forgive. Because right now, it just ain't that easy.